God, we want to thank you for this wonderful opportunity and privilege to come to your house this morning and to be part of a people that belong to your kingdom. We want to thank you also for that which you have prepared for today. The blessings unassailable. It will be the portion of each and every one of us who is here today in Jesus' name. Lord, reveal yourself to us more than ever before. Give us an understanding that is beyond all understanding we have ever had of you, in a way, O Lord, that your word will become real in our lives. Lord, that we will live in total obedience to your word, not just in the big things of life or the visible things, but in the invisible things and the not so big things, that in everything we will submit to your lordship in the mighty name of Jesus. By your word this morning, justify us. By your word this morning, build us up. By your word this morning, heal us, O Lord. By your word this morning, empower us, O Lord. By your word this morning, enlighten us, O Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. We are continuing our series on the Word of God. The Word of God, part 3. Of course, if there's a part 3, it means there have been parts 1 and 2. Praise the Lord. And I'm sure we have been blessed. There is nothing better to study than the Word of God, because that's what the Bible tells us, that it is to be desired even more than bread. Am I right? How do I know that? Because it says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. Praise the Lord. So we desire, and the Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the word. It should be our desire, really. God will open his treasure unto us this morning in Jesus' name. We are looking at an aspect of the Word of God, which is titled, Jesus is the Word. Jesus is who? Is the Word. That's what we are looking at. And it really enlightened me, preparing for this. Initially, I had wanted Pastor Esther to do this on the school. When I chose to do this study, I said, look, maybe I better teach this, because it was quite wonderful. It's refreshing. Praise the Lord. So Jesus is the Word. He is the Word. And that is what we want to talk to ourselves about. And our text is taken from no other place but John, the book of John, chapter 1. We are going to read 2 verses there. Verses 1 and verse 14. Can somebody read for us the book of John?
In the beginning, mm-hmm. The word was with God, and the word was God. Verse 14. So the word became human and made his home among us. It was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son.
Praise the Lord. I like that. He simplifies it without any ambiguity. Another version here says, in the beginning, before all time, was the Word. He puts in bracket, Christ. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God himself. Verse 14. And the Word, Christ, became flesh, human, incarnate, and tabernacle, that is, fixed his tent of flesh, lived a while amongst us. And we actually saw his glory, his honor, his majesty, such glory as an only begotten Son receives from his Father, full of grace, favor, loving kindness, and truth. I like that. I like that. Anyway, if anyone has any doubt in their mind that Jesus is the Word, you have heard it this morning. The Bible is saying that Jesus is actually the Word. But in case you are the type who is never happy with just the answer, you want to know how to get there. That is what we are going to do this morning. We are going to look at some scriptures, and we are going to look at some studies that actually prove that before time, people had known that the Word is the same as Jesus, and that men had always acknowledged the presence of Jesus, in fact, the Trinity, that they have been in existence, and they were actually acknowledged. So God had made his knowledge known to man long before Jesus actually came. And these are some of the things we are going to look at. The Word of God is so vital to every Christian because that is the most important way he has revealed and manifested himself to man. Above all, it will appear that God did all that he did and will continue to do by the power of his Word. So, in other words, everything that God does, he does through the power of the Word. The reason his Word is so powerful is because his Word is living. There are biblical proofs that Jesus is the Word of God. And we'll quickly look at some of these things, some of those proofs. Before we go to look at some of the proofs, let's look at the meaning of the Word. When we say the Word, as it's referred to in the Bible, particularly the New Testament. When we look at what we learned last week, of course, we talked about the general knowledge of God as the Word. We also talked about the spoken word, and they are the ones that are referred to as the Logos. And one is referred to as the Logos, that is the revealed Word of God. And that is the way it is used in John 1. So in other words, you can say in the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. That's what it means, the revealed Word of God. So in other words, the revealed Word was with God. And the Bible is making us to understand that Jesus is that Word. So Jesus is that revelation. Is the living revelation. If you look at Luke chapter 8 verse 11, Logos is used in that way. Can somebody read Luke 8:11? Luke 8:11. Praise the Lord. So the seed is the Logos. That's what Jesus was referring to. In Philippians 2:16 and in Hebrews 4:12, where it says, the Word of God is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. You know, it's also referring to the revealed Word of God, that it is powerful. And the second one is Rhema, that is the spoken word, an utterance. That is the way in which the word is used in Luke 1:38. Look at Luke 1:38 to see an example of Rhema, the spoken word of God. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." He said, "Be it unto me according to thy Rhema, thy spoken word. Be it unto me according to thy utterance. Be it unto me as you have said it." And if you look at the other references, the word is using in that light, Rhema, the spoken word. The spoken word is what we have when the Holy Spirit speaks to us. The spoken words is what we have when God sends his word to us, maybe through preachers, prophets, even friends, members of the church. The Holy Spirit of God can inspire them that they will speak the word of God to us. That is Rhema. As with everything, we Christians, we like to debate. We are people of knowledge. We like debating everything. Of course, among Christians, there have been discussions about Rhema, logo, what is the importance, and people have differences. But one thing I will tell us this morning is that you need logos to interpret the veracity of Rhema. In other words, when you get words from a prophet, when you hear words from a preacher, when you think you've had the Holy Spirit speak to you, it has to be in consonance with the revealed word of God. So the Bible becomes the final arbiter. The Bible becomes the proof if it is not in keeping with the revealed word of God. Then you probably have not heard aright. That word that has come through that person is probably not of the Spirit of God. I told you, I've shared with some of us before, how a pastor became unwell. And he came to members of the church and said that God had asked him to have an affair with the wife of one of the members of the church. And the church was divided. I'm telling you, I'm talking real life. The church was divided. Some of them said, yes, if God told him to do so, yet let him do so. I'm telling you, without being able to go back to the word to actually look at, to have a reference point. So when one speaks, that is Rhema. The litmus test is the logos. You have to go back to the word. Praise the Lord. If only people go back to the word as revealed, then a lot of the difficulties we have today in Christendom wouldn't have arisen. Praise the Lord. Now, let's quickly look at a few extra biblical references. One of the extra biblical references that I want to talk to us about, not one of them, the one I want to talk to us about today is the one that is referred to as the Targums. These are Hebrew scriptures that were translated to Aramaic. When Jesus was on earth, he actually spoke Aramaic. But a lot of scripture had been written in Hebrew before Jesus came. And many of them, a lot of them also continue to be written in that language. And what then happened was this. In the temples, a lot of the scriptures will be read in Hebrew. And then they will be translated to Aramaic. And scholars have gone out to take a look, to look at some of these writings, some of these translations, in order, I'm sure many of us will remember, and I don't know if Pastor Hen will go through this again. We actually had a teaching stroke sermon here that he went through how the Word of God came about, and look at some of the references and how the different versions of the Bible actually are saying the same thing. But what I'm talking to us about is are the books that were actually translated into the understandable language of the day at that time. And they will give us an insight into how the New Testament came about, into how the writers of the New Testament came about some of the concepts and the words that they used. Let's look at a few or one or two examples of those translations. There were many of those targums. They were written at about 200 BC. So they were written long before Jesus was born. Okay? And you will see the unity, the consistency of the Word of God, or of the being and the purpose of God in some of these translations. For example, if you look at your bulletin, Genesis 1 verse 1 is translated as this: "From the beginning, with wisdom, the memory of the Lord created and perfected the heavens and the earth." The term memra is the Aramaic word that translates to logos. So when we read our Bibles now, we just hear that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. But the original writing is actually translated as the memra, that is the logos of the Lord. You know, from the beginning, with wisdom, the logos of the Lord created and perfected the heavens and the earth. Is this saying something to us? Is this saying something to us? Praise the Lord. One particular type of targum, which is Targum Neophiti, puts it more clearly. It actually translates the original Hebrew writing thus. It says, "From the beginning, with wisdom, the Son of the Lord created and perfected the heavens and the earth." And I was actually listening. You remember when I was sharing with the workers yesterday, I told you I was listening to a message before I came in. There's another one that actually says, "From the beginning, with wisdom, the firstborn of the Lord." The firstborn of the Lord created and perfected the heavens and the earth. In Targum writing also, if you look at Genesis 3:8, it actually reads this. I've just taken samples of some of those that were presented. And it says, "And they heard the sound of the memra of the Lord God walking within the garden in the breeze of the day." Genesis 12:7, "And the memra of the Lord was revealed to Abraham and said to him." In other words, the logos of the Lord, you know, is going to become a bit clearer as I go on. I will leave it as this, just to give us an understanding about creation, about the existence of Jesus before creation, about the role of Jesus in creation, about the lordship of God that we worship, and about the lordship of Jesus in God that we worship. I think this are some of the knowledges that every child of God should have. You can see the consistency in God. Let's quickly look at some of the Old Testament concepts of the word. We've looked at the meaning of the word, the Greek meaning, the logos, the rhema, the extra biblical references. Let's look at some of the Old Testament concept of the word, and hopefully everything will come together. We are trying to prove that Jesus is the word. Praise the Lord. The word of God is seen in the Old Testament especially as an instrument for executing the will of God. If you look at the way the Old Testament is worded and written, you will see that the word of God was actually seen as an instrument of God, as an instrument in the hand of God. It's not just mere words spoken. It was seen as an instrument or an intermediary that carried out the purpose of God, that carried out the mind of God. So in other words, the word of God is seen as having abilities. The word of God is seen as having power. Only something that is alive will have abilities, will have power, will have a mind, can do, can follow instruction. Let's look at Psalm 33 verse 6. It gives us an example of that, the way the word of God is used. Praise the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. In other words, the word of the Lord did what? Made the heavens. Yes? Praise the Lord. So the word of God, the logos of God was responsible for what? For creation. Look at Psalm 107 verse 20. He sent his word and he healed them. So the word of God is what? Is a healer. He sent his word. He was there on his throne and he said to his word, heal them. And the word went ahead and did what? And healed. Psalm 147 verse 15 and verse 18. He sent out his command to the earth and praise the Lord. Can I have it in another version? Psalm 147 verse 15. Praise the Lord. Yes. He sent out his word and did what? And melt them. So in other words, the word of God has power. And the word of God has the ability to do and cause things to happen. Verse 18. Okay. Verse 15. Please read it again. Okay, he sent out his command to the earth, his word drawn swiftly. He sent forth his command upon earth, his word runneth very swiftly. Okay, good. I like this version. He said, he sent out his command. He sent forth his commandment upon earth, his word runneth very, very swiftly. What is it that can run? His word did what? Ran swiftly. His word did whatever God asked it to do or asked him to do. It's the logos. It created. It goes on errand. It breathes life. It does everything. And when you look at the way the word is used in the Old Testament, they find out that this is in keeping with Greek philosophy that logos is the intermediate agency by which God created material things and communicated with them. That the logos was the intermediate by which God created material things and communicated with material things. If he wanted anything to happen in every of his creation, he sent his logos. He sent his word. The word that has power. The word that is alive. The word that can run swiftly. The word that has two edges that can cut. The word that can discern the hearts of men. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? Now, by this reasoning, that logos is the intermediate agency by which God created material things and communicated with them, what they were saying, what was believed then, was that every human encounter, please, we need to understand this very well, that the encounter that people had with God, maybe I'll put it in another way, that there were different parts to God, that there was the revealed part of God, and that the encounter that people had with God was as a result of the revealed part of God. That is why God said, no one can see me and live. But he has the revealed part of him that goes from time immemorial to people. And so you would not, so you are not going to be confused when the Bible says that God will come down in the evening to fellowship with Adam and Eve. So the revealed part of God will come down to fellowship with Adam and Eve. And that intermediate, the revealed part of God, is the Logos. And that is Jesus. Praise the Lord. And this is also in keeping with the plurality of the presentation of God as revealed in his name, like Elohim. Also, let's look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis 1, 26. Can somebody read? Yes. Praise the Lord. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our own likeness. It does not mean that there are two gods. This upholds the Trinity of the living God. Even before the writing of the Old Testament, it upholds the Trinity of the living God. Yes, let's quickly look at the same Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. The man is becoming as one of us. One of us, the plurality of God, revealed again, by which God did what he did at creation. He sent forth his word, and he healed them, and he delivered them from their destruction. The word of God will deliver you this morning in Jesus' name. Jesus is that word, as we can see. He is that word. A lot of things have been lost in translation, or what we get are the abridged versions. But Jesus is that word. Through him was everything done that was done. Let's quickly go ahead. Let's come and see common characteristics between the word and Jesus. common characteristics, just a few. I've listed a few here. The Word and Jesus are both equated with God. Praise the Lord. Nothing else is equated with God. The Word of God and God, they are the same. And the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2 that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So we know only two things are equated with God, only two people, the Word of God and Jesus. They are the only two equated with God. They both have creative power. They both have what? Creative power. We've just read it. That he sent his word to create. That the logos of the Lord created them in wisdom. Can we look at John chapter 1 verse 3? They both have the power to create. They have creative power. Okay. Now, let's quickly, if I read from my version here, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In other words, the Word that was with God made everything. And of course, the Bible also tells us that in Jesus we have our being, and in everything consists in him. Everything has existence in him. He is the beginning of it all, that he created everything. So he and the Word, they are the same thing. They created everything. So he created everything. Again, the Word and Jesus, they both have the power to save, purify, and sanctify. Let's look at James chapter 1 verse 21. Praise the Lord. The Word has the power to save. And who else has the power to save? Jesus. But the Bible also tells me that there is no other name by which men should be saved but the name of Jesus. So the Word saves. Jesus saves. So Jesus and the Word, they are the same thing. Can somebody also read Romans 1:16. It says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So again, the Word of God saves. Then I want to say, they live forever. Both of them do what? They live forever. They live forever. Psalm 119 verse 89. It says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. So the Word of God lives forever. It is settled. It is done. It is not changing. It remains the same. They both reveal God and had been with God from beginning. John 1 verse 2. It said, for the same was with God. The same, the Word was with God. The Logos was with God. Jesus was with God. He is the living God. So in other words, the take-home message is this. Every time you speak the Word of God, you are speaking the life of Jesus into that situation. Every time you speak the Word of God, you are speaking the blood of Jesus into that circumstance. Every time you call upon the Word of God, you are calling upon the name of Jesus and asking him to make a difference in that situation. So Jesus is the Word. Praise the Lord. I don't know if anyone has any questions or contribution. Any questions, contributions? Praise the Lord. Are you blessed? Are you blessed? Praise the Lord. Let's rise up and pray. So can we just speak to the Lord this morning and say, Father, let the power of your word be made manifest in my life. Let the power of your word be made manifest in my life. In other words, when we allow the power of God to be made manifest in our lives, we'll be obedient to the word. So every word, every injunction of God that we're obedient to means we are obedient to Jesus. And the Bible says, if you obey my word, you are my friends if you obey my commandments. You are my friends if you obey my words. You are my friends if you obey my words. Ask for an empowerment from above to be obedient to the word of God, and that the word of God will be made manifest, whether it's in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. It is the revealed word of God. It is the logos of God. It is Jesus in action. Therefore, they are worth obeying. They are worth living. They are worth adhering to. Therefore, ask that God will empower you from today to live according to the word of the living God in the mighty name of Jesus. Ask for an empowerment from above. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now, another prayer point related to that is this. Ask that the word of God will make a difference in your life. Because remember, we said the word of God has creative ability. The word of God has power to save, purify, and to sanctify. The word of God is settled. Therefore, ask that the word of God will make a difference in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus. That when the world will look at you, they will see the difference that the word of God has made in your life. Because the word of God has been your blessing. The word of God has watered you. Remember that the righteous is like the tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruits in its due season. That you may bring forth your fruit in your due season. The word of God will water you. The word of God will supply your need. The word of God will be your nutrient. The word of God will be your empowerment, will be your enlightenment, will be your vision. That the word of God will be your instruction. In the mighty name of Jesus, empower me, Lord. Make the difference in my life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for everything that has been said to us. We now know that whether we receive it in the New Testament or in the Old Testament, that your word contains power, that your word is the same. Father, we pray for the ability to hold on to your word from today in Jesus' name, our Lord and our God, that your word will justify us in Jesus' name. Your word will purify us, O Lord, because Jesus talks about the washing of the water by the word. Lord, your word will wash us in Jesus' name and will present us before you as a church without spot or wrinkle. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise